Welcome back to In Depth. It is the PSA program on LOL Lotus Radio Stations. I am still your host, Ian Sorensen, and my second, actually technically third and final guest is Patrick Turner from the Discovery Museum. Patrick, how are you, bud?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you came. I was just kind of scouring the internet. I've done some stuff at the Discovery Museum, and then I suddenly looked at the bottom of your website, and I was like, is this a nonprofit?
It is.
How did I not know? Get them in the studio.
You're not the only one. We get mistaken for a for-profit. Mainly because of the name. People associate us with the Discovery Channel.
There is no association. No association. None. It is completely independent from that.
Exactly.
So now I'm glad we have it in the studio so we can dispel that rumor.
Sure.
People know it's nonprofit now.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, seriously. So Discovery, what is your position in the Discovery
Museum? I'm the Vice President of Marketing and Communications.
Okay, very cool. And how long have you been with them?
I've been with the museum over 6 years. I actually started before the museum opened in May of 2011, but I was involved all the way back in 2004.
Wow,
because
really?
I worked at the ad agency that helped with the capital campaign.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Did get it up and running.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I have the right person in here because
yeah.
You were there from pretty much the beginning.
There are a few of us left at the museum that were there before the museum opened, so we're the official historians.
All right, cool. Well, let's talk about, actually, speaking of history,
sure.
Who had the idea for this?
It was a local guy by the name of Chris Riesch, and he was a museum fan. He had young kids at the time and just kind of started thinking, could Reno support a museum like the Discovery?
Mm-hmm.
Funded a feasibility study with his own money and came to the realization that, yeah, Reno could support something like this. And off he went. He started a board. They started raising money. Through the help of a lot of volunteers, they started the planning process. And then things just kind of took off from there. They slowly started to bring on staff that helped design the museum. They contracted out for a lot of the design work. And after 7 short years, which is really not a lot of time in the museum business,
okay,
the Discovery was born. And really, one of the most interesting parts of that early history is museums like the Discovery typically start out really small, usually in like a strip mall or something like that, so that their okay. footprint is a little smaller and you can kind of build a following through volunteers and members and that sort of thing.
Right.
Because the city of Reno vacated our building, which is the former Reno City Hall, and it's 67,000 square feet. The museum started out a whole lot larger than what you would normally see.
Yeah. So it just kind of lucked into it?
Yeah. I mean, the city had the building up for sale and we were interested because it's great location.
It is a wonderful location.
Super central and being a really big building and lots of open space. But it was expensive. That was 2006. So real estate market was pretty hot then.
Yeah.
But with the help of a holding company, we were able to purchase the building. And so we own it free and clear. And that set the tone for the size and scale of the experience of the Discovery.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you just gave me a big old packet filled with stuff. You guys are doing stuff all the time.
We are. Another part of the history is the initial concept for the museum was a children's museum, which by definition serves predominantly families with kids 12 and under.
Yeah.
We had a leadership change about 4 years ago. Matt Sinclair, our current president and CEO, joined, and he has a long history in the museum business, but he did a lot of his time at OMSI in Portland, which is like the benchmark for science museums.
Really? Okay.
And he said, why does the Discovery have to be a children's museum? This town needs more than that. Let's become a science center, which by definition serves people cradle to grave.
Right.
And so that set us on the current path that we are on. So we're revamping museum experiences so that they appeal to a broader demographic of young learners all the way to adults. And we've added a lot of programs that happen at the museum and outside the museum that allow us to serve that broader demographic too.
Very cool. So, and I've noticed, I think I was in there, you kind of have some classroom space?
We have.
A little bit?
Yeah. I mean, we have labs that we use for field trip programs.
That's where I was going to actually lead you.
Is
you probably have a lot of teachers taking classrooms in there.
We do. We had our biggest field trip year ever last year, the 2015-2016 school year. We saw over 16,000 students.
My Lord.
Which is awesome. And that's a great audience for us. I mean, obviously, kids at that, in that sort of first to sixth grade age, and then even beyond that. We do field trips for middle schools and high schools too, but that's a little bit more of a logistical challenge for the schools.
Okay.
But that's when kids are making the decision whether or not science is cool, whether or not they think they even want to pursue a career in that field.
Right.
And we're able to give them an experience both just by exploring the museum, but also by doing what we call discovery labs. That are hands-on and they're sort of instructor-led.
Beautiful.
They get to make that decision. You know, is science something I want to pursue?
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. And have you kind of seen firsthand, like, kids just totally being inspired by this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the sheer awe that kids get when they come to the museum is enough to inspire them. But we're starting to see, you know, we've only been open for 6 years, so we don't have a long history to be able to draw upon. But in 6 years, we've had kids that are starting to say they've grown up with the discovery in this community.
Oh, yeah.
And they're people, parents in particular, who say, oh, yeah, my kid got so inspired by this gallery at the museum or this program that he took part in. And because of it, they're pursuing a career in science, or they're more interested in science in high school or middle school or whatever. So we're starting to see an impact.
Good. And if we have any families listening right now, like, what kind of, if just to give them a little teaser, what kind of exhibits can they expect? Are they changed on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Are certain ones?
So we have a collection of permanent galleries that range from Nevada's history. We have a space called Spark Lab Smithsonian that's actually a little piece of the Smithsonian from Washington, D.C. that focuses on the process of invention.
Wow.
We have a space called Build It that's all about green energy and engineering and construction technology. We have a space called Little Discoveries, which is the only space in the museum we limit access to by age, so kids 5 and under, so that those kids can have an experience in the museum and not be overrun by older visitors.
Right.
Gosh, what else? One of our newer spaces that's permanent is called Inside Out, an Anatomy Experience. That focuses on human anatomy and health sciences, and it's been a really popular one, and definitely one where we've seen visitors' eyes open to the potential of a career in medicine and health sciences. Really cool. And then we of course, have traveling exhibits. Right now, we're hosting a T-Rex named Sue, which
I've heard of that.
Comes to us from the Field Museum in Chicago and features a 42-foot-long T-Rex skeleton. Sue is named after the paleontologist that discovered her. And I say her because they theorize that she was a female T-Rex, but obviously we don't know for sure.
Oh, okay.
But there's so much great history around Sue. Just only if you understand the history of her discovery. But there was also this legal battle over her after she was discovered. And then there's all kinds of really neat history around the exhibition and how the Field Museum in Chicago was able to purchase the original or the real skeleton and then make this traveling exhibition. It's really, really cool.
That's awesome. So do you usually have like traveling, or do you ship certain exhibits or things like that in, or is this a new?
We try and so we've had a couple of other traveling exhibitions before.
Okay.
Sue, we had one called Monster Fish, which actually featured the research of a local gentleman by the name of Zeb Hogan. He's a professor at the university,
okay,
which was really, really cool for us because it debuted at the National Geographic Museum in Washington, D.C., and then we were the first museum after that to host it.
Beautiful.
Which made us really proud, but it made Zeb really proud because it came to his hometown.
Right.
That was kind of
the curve.
A match made in heaven. And Monster Fish has gone on to other museums now. But we try and rotate the launch of like a new permanent exhibition with a traveler. So we're actually working on two new permanent exhibitions. One is a reinterpretation of our Nevada Stories gallery, which we'll call Nevada Land Nevada Stories. We still want to tell our state's history. We get a lot of comments about how cool it is that our museum is so locally focused or regionally focused.
Right.
So we don't want to go away from that. We're just going to take that Nevada history content and take more of a natural history interpretation of it. So we're going to tell the state's history through the land and the people and the culture. And that's going to be really cool. The space that becomes available when we redo Nevada Stories is going to become Flight Tech.
Okay.
That's cool physically because the Nevada Stories Gallery in the museum currently is our largest footprint, also our tallest footprint.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to take advantage of the height and give people the ability to experience drones and aviation history and computer technology and everything that relates to the aviation industry these days. And there's a lot of local ties for that too. I mean, there's so many businesses in this community that are tied to aviation.
Yeah. People, I mean, you got the air races for one thing.
Air races. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of space exploration companies that are based here that people probably don't even know about.
So all right. Very cool. So those are the coming in the near future.
Yeah. Those are, we're in the fundraising phases for those. So it's no small load in terms of financial gain or, you know, raising money for the museum, but we've got a great team and I know that they can raise the money and we have a community that seems to really want to support everything that we do at the Discovery. So
definitely. So financially, are you always looking, I mean, grants, donations, I guess from regular folk, would that be always encouraged?
Being the end of the year, we're right in the middle of our fundraising drive and that's where we ask basically everybody we can to support the museum with a philanthropic gift. And we see good response. We're really happy with the support that we get. We don't get any public funds currently, so nothing from the federal government or the state or local government.
Wow.
So it's all on us to raise the money from businesses and local philanthropic organizations, and then, of course, our members and local families who are willing to support us.
Very cool. Can people give directly? Is this like online or something?
Oh, yeah. We've got a donation form online, and it's super easy to do and secure, and we'll take whatever people are willing to do.
All right. Beautiful. I don't know if I have anything else to add. If there's something you want to add that I didn't hit, go for it.
No, I think if, just in case you haven't been, we're at 490 South Center Street, right downtown, just kind of south of the casino corridor. If you want to look us up online, it's nvdm.org. And that's a great place to, we maintain a really robust events calendar. So if you're at all curious about what's going on at the museum, whether you're a family with kids or an adult who doesn't have kids or a college student, we have all kinds of programs. Something for everyone, for sure.
Very cool. And actually, I remember doing, I did improv there. Did an improv thing for like a party. So I think people can rent out the space, can't they?
Oh, yeah. We do a pretty good business of facility rentals. We actually hosted our first wedding a few months ago. Which
really?
Was
oh, my
cool.
gosh. That's
it
awesome.
It was a couple who wanted to get married with Sue. Huge dinosaur fans. And so the whole wedding and reception was dinosaur themed. We were super happy to have them.
That's really, really cool.
Yep.
Well, so much. I mean, God, you probably could be here for another hour talking about what you have going on at the Discovery, because there's
definitely
so much to discover.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for coming in. We're going to have you back, and we have to have you back.
I
because
would love to.
It's a great interview, and it's also, there's so much more stuff to talk about in the future. So we'll have you back. Patrick Turner, Discovery Museum. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.